Hello, hello, welcome. Welcome today to our call on WLS. And I'm just looking who's here today. So welcome, welcome Jeannie, Enrito, Danica, Linda, Mariana, Shelley, Christine. Some people are coming on. And it's been raining absolutely crazy here all day. And then sun comes out and then raining. It's intense weather. And the summer is for sure over. And I think, you know, Monday is also the full moon in Pisces. So welcome, Donna, Antonia. And so today, let's just kind of be here for a moment and allow ourselves to just, you know, just relax the shoulders. Just take a moment to just really come into this space that you are. And if you need to take a deep breath and just let go of the day or the night if you're just waking up. And just allow yourself to just sink into your core. And your core is the sum total of your lower belly point, your heart, and your mind, center point in the head. Everything is merged together. You are transcending and becoming whole. Just being yourself. Just being yourself. So when we sit and just sit, I hope that you experience just a coming home to yourself. It should be a moment where you are just resting, being yourself, where the world for a moment is not important, where everything that is so important is just put aside and you're just really being with yourself. It's a very intimate moment, a very natural moment where you're in your natural state, where you can slip through the crack of the pranic movement, the movement of thought in the mind and the drama of emotional waves, where you just for a moment really just let it be and you're just really resting and falling back into yourself. It's not hard work, really. It's actually much harder work engaging. And it's actually much simpler being yourself. When you for a moment just realize that most of the activities in your body are actually involuntary, you don't really have to do anything. And much of what goes on in your life is actually karmic and it's just happening. You're just thinking you're doing it. So there's actually very little that you're really having to put effort in. The only effort we really put in is to not identify with any of it and say, I am doing this. It's me, the one that is causing all that. So that is being not, if you refrain from that, then everything else is really automatic. It makes life very simple. And you realize, this is just things unfolding. The Dharma itself, the things that are really what we call destiny or what is unfolding for you in your life that is really good and pure, you could say, or divine, those things are actually quite, they kind of lift you and they give you energy. But all that other stuff that appears as being so much effort, it's just so much effort because we identify with things that have very low vibration and are of the past. Or we just assume responsibility for certain things that are happening to us and we feel the guilt and the responsibility, be it a disease or situations in the family or whatever happens. And because these energies are very low vibration and we try to, we cling to them, identify as I am that, this defines me, this is my story. And it's very draining and it's effort. So when we meditate, we for a moment just stop doing that. We just like let it be, because it's being itself anyway, and we're just creating drama around it. I just notice that your natural state is pure. There's nothing good or bad about it. It's actually quite beautiful. So I wanted to speak a little bit today about love and pain versus pain, because everybody that comes to the spiritual path or picks it up again, we've been on this path for lifetimes, but most of the time it's because there's an experience of suffering. And on the spiritual path, there comes a moment on the very advanced levels where we are not on the spiritual path because we are suffering, but because we're actually love. We love. We've fallen in love with ourselves and with life, or as an expression of the divine. And we basically live and do our practices because we love. So ask yourself, where you're at right now. Are you actually in the place of running away and mastering your sufferings, overcoming them, struggling? Or have you had moments where you actually are living your life more for love, despite the sufferings, despite the inconveniences, despite all these things? Because most of the time is really about, you know, every day there's a new drama, right? There's something going on here, there's something there, and this is happening, that's happening, and then the child does something, the husband does something, the wife does something, the government does something. You know, there's always something going on, right? And we are habituated in 3D to live in survival and fear. So to really move into the love paradigm, to really, you know, be here in WS because you love freedom. You love being in your core naturally. You love to just for a moment to just be. You love life, the mystery of it, although you don't really understand it. And you won't give it to the mind. You will refrain giving it to the mind so the mind can pick it apart and give an answer to what this mystery is. You just refrain from it because you love life so much more than to give it over to a surgeon to be analyzed and destroyed. To live in innocence and to live in gratitude, really. It's another word of gratitude, just because we're breathing and we can allow ourselves to breathe and sink in synchronicity or being synchron with the pulse of the universe itself, and to find that beautiful balance of the body and the mind and the spirit all working together perfectly, and enjoying that moment, the simplicity of just that. I had a beautiful conversation with one of you doing the retreat, and about, you know, what's it like to just be here, and there was a surprise, you know, that it's just so normal. It's so normal. I always call it being really sober, not under the illusion and the drunkenness of the dream, but to really be just here, and it's so normal. This person was looking for something really extraordinary or special state. But it is a special state because nobody is really here and normal. Most people are drunk. You're drunk with illusions. And so it is nothing that is exciting to the mind. It is so natural that the mind can't understand it and is not happy with it because it's boring to the mind. At the same time, when we are living in this natural state, in this sober here state, what happens is that the mind gets affected and it changes. It begins to become clarified, and the mind then, because it has the mind is creating realities, right? It just begins to create nicer and actually quite exciting realities at times. It could be quite dazzling. It could be, I don't know, anything, because the mind is very creative depending on what forces move through you. So, but initially it is really just being here. But it's not that easy, because drama has more density to it. It gives us a sense that we're more real and that we exist, instead of just being really like nothingness to the mind. We just go through the day, and we're offering ourselves. It's like an altar. We're offering ourselves to this moment. It's an absolute sacrifice. It's the absolute sacrifice of our ego to this moment, to life itself. So just check inside of yourself. What is it that really actually, factually is making you do spiritual practices? What is that that motivates you? Just be honest, because honesty is really important. So I'm just looking at my panel here, and I have a hand up, which is in California, and it's Sally, and I'm going to unmute you, Sally. Hi, Sally.
Oh, hi, Arasima.
Hey. Hi.
Oh, man, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I needed the reminder. It was so appropriate this week.
Oh.
Just really, thank you.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to sit with you for a moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay. Thanks, Sally. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Davy. Hi, Davy.
Hi, Ratima.
Mm.
I want to say something, and then I want to sit with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just noticed that I'm traveling right now, but when I'm in Los Angeles, I notice that I have, like, certain thoughts. Usually it's, like, low band, heavy vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not personal, but the mind make it, like, oh, like kind of, like, make up a story, make it, like, because of Davy and and other people.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
Every time I travel, I feel like I am out of that, like, morphic field, and then I will feel better. I will not have those thoughts, and then whatever bothered me or the situation doesn't really bother me. And then the people that in the story, it's almost like that's like a energetic hook. It's almost like they know I'm not there, and they try to pull me back there. So I find it very interesting.
Yes, very well observed. You're absolutely right. That is true, because you are energetically connected to even your furniture in some way, everything. Like, and you have patterns and grooves, like the streets you go down over and over again, and all that. And if you remove yourself, go somewhere else. And this is why, like, people travel, right, to kind of refresh and get new perspective on life. And when people are really needing you very much for their well-being, they might even call you all the time, you know, even when you're on vacation. That can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but the thing is, like, if I return back, then I will kind of have the same thought again. Like, I feel like I can really change it.
Yeah, you can. Well, there is a certain degree, and that's what I kind of talked about. I don't know if I talked about it during the retreat, is that you are in a morphic field, and at some point, and it's very, very difficult as you are in the process of waking up. Then because you're still struggling with your own stuff. So we have to create a lot of space. Like, this is why I don't like moving a lot, because when I move somewhere, it takes me literally. Yeah, it takes me about 1-2 years. So in the past, to literally clean up the entire area about 150 miles around me, so that I am basically domineering all with my frequency the world around me, to a degree that they don't impede on me in a way. You know what I'm saying? So we have to basically constantly clean things up, and we've done this in the retreat quite a bit. But you have to actively work at it, and.
Okay.
The things that you're learning in the healing school, you could, for example, apply, right? That you basically, you know, really work with Los Angeles directly, and you just, it's for yourself. Just, it's not that you're It's not about other people. It's you making space. You're cleaning your own area up. And you also command your subconscious to not engage with the broadcasting of negativity that goes on, right? But it is, unfortunately, there's such like psychic fog that goes on the planet, especially in cities like Los Angeles, that it is definitely challenging. I mean, the best thing would be to just move away from it, right?
I want to, but I read one of your posts on Facebook and you talk about you can move back to Italy or Germany, but
actually to the United States. Because my son is an American citizen. I didn't really realize that I could actually naturally get a U.S. citizenship. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you feel like you need to be in Canada because that's where you're supposed to be, right?
Yeah, I don't get any impulse to leaving. It's like my head would say, oh, it's so much better, and let's say in Costa Rica, because I don't have to, do things that the government wants here. But there's nothing in my body. My feet aren't going there. My soul is rooted here, so I'm just going to trust that. So you feel the same about Los Angeles?
Yeah, because I was trying to move back to Florida last year. Actually went back there trying to find a place to live, but
right.
I don't feel like it's the right thing to do. It's the mind want to move there, but I don't feel like my soul want to stay in LA. So
yeah.
I just stay
then trust
there.
That. Yeah, then just trust that. I guess that's the place. It's the perfect place for you to grow and learn, and the perfect place to be present and radiate yourself into the atmosphere there. Yeah. That's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
Right.
Great.
Can I
thanks.
Sit with you?
Yes. Okay. Let's
can
do
you
that.
Sit with me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're actually still integrating the retreat, and you're actually quite, you're actually already creating space there. You might not be noticing it, but you're kind of really sorting the environment and what your frequency is. And can you feel do you feel the difference now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah, it just helped you to kind of speed that up a bit, but you were already in the process actually.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. No, good. Great. Great. Thanks, Davey. Thanks. This is Mariana. Hi, Mariana.
Hi, Aratima.
Mm.
So beautiful what you were talking about. So beautiful. And it was so beautiful that you introduced everybody. That was just so lovely.
Thanks. Yeah, I never did that, but I usually try to keep everybody private in some way, but most of you know each other. So
it felt really nice. It felt like, with good friends. It just felt, well, for me it did. It warmed my heart, made me smile.
Nice.
I've got so much to tell you. I would love to sit with you. I'd just like to say a few things. I feel like I've gone to a whole new level. It's been a really difficult week, a really difficult month. And I feel like I've just been on a crescendo of initiation after initiation. And I was at such a point where I was so wide open that I couldn't even, a few days ago, I couldn't even make a simple decision. Did I want to go out that door or that door? Or what was I going to put on myself?
I've been in those places, yeah. They're kind of fun, right?
It was ridiculous. And I just achieved nothing for like 3 days. And it's a total quandary.
yeah.
And lots of initiations with wild animals, like a snake passed across my foot the other day and all sorts of things. But I think the biggest thing is that I'm really, really, really got it that, you know, we have choices. I think it's just really paramount for me right now. And I have two choices. Like, I'm at a crossroads and I had this beautiful vision of the Divine Mother, and I'd like to write to you about it because there's so much I don't understand. But it was just about the choices. I have a choice. I can go this way or I can go that way. And one is just so full of surrender and joy and happiness and freedom. And the other one is very oppressive, because I experienced many dramas of those in the last week as well. Uh-huh. And it's just so crystal clear now, you know. And you're talking about, you know, where's our practice rooted? Well, mine is very much rooted in the divine, in the Divine Mother in all her forms. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling when you started your initiation and you started talking about, you know, being in our core and our essence, I really felt like, prior to you saying that, that when I actually feel you, I actually do feel you in that, in my hara, in my sacral point, you know, like I feel you totally embodied now. You know, there's a fullness. And so that sort of feels like that expanded state, you know, that very grounded and very luscious at the same time. Like I was describing it, like a peony flower, you know, that there's like layers of that beautiful consciousness, which is like, I don't feel like a drop in the ocean anymore. I feel like the ocean. All of it. And so it's like she's saying now, okay, well, you can do this or you can do this. And so what are you going to choose? You know, it's like this or this.
Well, it sounds like playing then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very beautiful place to be in. So I'm just so grateful for everything and all, and just absolute divine. And I could ramble for hours, but I'll just sit if I could with you.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You inspire me to say a few more things here. I'll mute you. Thanks, Mariana.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What inspires me is that, you know, we go through these stages in our lives where we are first a baby and a small child and then, you know, an older child, and then we're a teenager and then we're a young adult and so forth. And then sort of once we're sort of grown up, we're kind of sort of pretty much in the same kind of state of consciousness most of the time. And so that's when we, you know, when we go into the spiritual path and we do practices, then, like I said, we do, you know, want to feel better or just reach enlightenment or whatever, you know, how we want to describe it. But once, you know, we have moved into a place of loving or living like the way Mariana described, you know, and for her it's the expression of the Divine Mother, that life, that fully, the fullness expanding and creating and moving outwards. There are stages or states of mind that we cannot comprehend right now or don't think about. It's just like a baby is concern is so different than a small child's concern, even, or the small child's concern or perspective of experience is so different than a teenager that has just, you know, kind of blossomed into puberty. So this different way of looking and experiencing life can be so radical. So sometimes the mind will say that, well, you know, it's kind of, you know, like I said, kind of boring or sober, you know, we do spiritual practice and what's all this about? But there are, the potential of a human being is just so infinite that really the spiritual path is a journey of discovering new states of consciousness that play out in very, very interesting ways that we can't even describe. It's really hard to talk about. They also, yet they defy language, and because they have to do more with, not even with feeling, it's just all of it. And if you, for a moment, you know, everybody here, to just kind of open yourself up to the fact that you're way more than you think you are right now, not just as a being, but also in your capacity to experience life and to do life, and that there's these abilities that are locked, you know, we call them, you know, through, we talk about it, you know, in terms of DNA activation, all this, and that's correct, but that's of course the scientific view, and the mind doesn't have a clue really what all that means. But I'm talking more in terms of almost poetry or taste, flavor, something more like that. And that there is more to this moment, and to really say, no, there's more. This is what my mind is offering me, or that small box of the ego is not enough. I'm going to open more doors. I'm going to allow spirit to open more doors for me, and so I can actually experience more and more the fullness of my existence. And then it becomes we're pioneers then into consciousness. And of course it has to be done in a rooted way, because it has to be rooted or really properly seated within the body so that mental health remains. So that's, I just wanted to add that. So thanks, Mariana. I'm going to unmute Linda in Linda DePauli, I think, 4360.
Hello, Arasima.
Yes, shows up Alberta. I know you're not in Alberta.
Oh my goodness. What an amazing call. I was going to come because I was moving through some things and integrating, but then we had this beautiful opening to our call with you that's just, so something surprising happened. And I want to share that. And then I want to, and then something expanded after your sitting with Mariana, and you were mm-hmm. elaborating on the field of consciousness. So, when we were sitting, all of a sudden, it was like, I was so aware of my dantian. It was like something really, really anchored there. And I was going to ask just to sit with you to see, what that meant exactly. But then after, when you were talking about this fields of consciousness, just before the call, I was in the woods. And I just had this feeling of, wow, just what happens when we totally let go of duality, like even in the form on this earth. Mm. And it was like, I was just like, wow, let go of all duality. Who said earth has to be in duality? It was like, it was like something was just stirring in me. Mm. Then I just go, and I think it came through those codes that came in on our last day of the retreat. But anyway, I'm just wondering if there's a connection between what just anchored in my, my solar plexus, or in my dantian, okay. And this feeling of, we can bust through anything. Who says that consciousness has to be in this way and the representation of it?
Yeah, there's a lot to say. And that's very beautiful. Yeah, I am physically working with my body, specifically Dan Qian and all that. And so I'm doing a lot of Qigong, and you're going to notice that. It's going to affect, because what is that really? It's really about working with the forces of nature, aligning and coming to this masterful balance. And so the forces of nature aren't just here on Earth. They're expressed in different ways in the universe. It's like big, right? It's the Divine Mother itself. So, and how you're, you know, you open the door and you're aware or in your consciousness, even saying by asking these questions, well, what if, and what does this all mean? And that's good. That's really where we open and we throw ourselves into greater possibilities, and that's how we discover, you know. But in how does this link up with the Dan Qian? Because the Dan Qian is where all the light and the energy is being stored, right? And the physical body is then not really a physical form. It appears, but it's really a playing field or an expression of all these forces of yin and yang balance of heaven and the earth. And so once we actually find that balance point, to me, the balance point, I always like to call it the Christ point. And I know I usually refer to it in the heart, but in essence, that balance point, that nexus exists everywhere. And also, of course, on the physical level in the Dan Qian area, right? And so where you're balancing the heaven and the earth energies, and then when you have them balanced, you're not distracted, no illusion is created, no shadow, and you're tapping for a moment into the nature of what nature really is. And then suddenly you realize, wow, wait a minute, is there polarity? Is there really? Well, who says, right? There's no mind in nature, right? Only the mind makes polarities.
That was interesting, because I forgot to say that I saw Shiva's bull, the white bull, in the Dan Qian as a symbol.
Okay, well, that's his home, right?
But also in the walk, I was going, I don't know, it was just coming up. We don't even need to have the yin and yang symbol. Why that? Why that symbol? It was like everything was opening up to be, I don't know, digested maybe.
Yeah.
And put out. And breathed out in a totally different way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you, when you have these experiences, you just like, you know, you're really good at just being with it. And then you discover yourself, you discover you have an inherent understanding. There's flashes of insight that sometimes come also when the mind interprets the nature of things in that moment. But it's also the experience and the embodying. All this happens at the same time. And then it's the foundation at some point for something else, you know?
Atima, you're so beautiful. May I sit with you?
Yes, thank you. You're beautiful too. There's a lot of light in your head, so we're just going to merge that a bit more with the Dan Qian. Oh, there you go. So a little different now, right?
It's like I don't want to let you go.
We're not going anywhere. We're always here.
Oh, thank you so much. That was so precious.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. I'll let you go. Thank you. Thank you. Shelley. Hey, Shelley.
There.
Hey, Ratimas. Number one, thank you for responding to my email. I think just by reading that, something shifted. You know, I'd been working outside all day, read that. It was almost like just a huge burden was lifted off of me that I could literally, literally just let go. Just understanding it at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Also, major experiences happening in the last 2 days. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's usually when the eyes are closed, and I believe it's light that's coming in. It's different. It can come in different colors. It's very fast when it happens. It almost feels like you're shifting dimensions, but it also feels like you're falling. It's like when it comes into me, it's like a almost like a tsunami, and you kind of feel like you're falling off a cliff, but it doesn't last long. I mean, it's like for a second. So that's been happening, but wondering if we could just sit and make sure I'm integrating this all from the retreat.
Do you have this falling light into you? When does this happen, daily, or what did you say?
It's been the last 2 days. It does happen quite a bit, though. But last 2 days, yesterday, really last night, big time last night, and again when we were sitting during, you know, the beginning of the call. Yeah.
And how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel kind of better, or does this kind of...
It doesn't bother me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I always assume it's something good that's happening.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Let's just sit and see what takes place. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Good, thank you. All right, there's no more hands up. So let me check here in the back. Okay, there is Ritu. Okay. Hey, Ritu, hi.
Hi, Artima. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, actually, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the call. I was missing you from after the retreat.
So. Yeah, you're welcome. You know, it seems like it was just last Sunday, right? And it's like, it seems like such a long time ago, right?
Yes.
We altered reality.
Exactly. So actually, can I just sit with you for
yes,
a little bit?
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you do a little bit of Kapalbhati once in a while, Ritu?
No, I haven't done it for a long time.
Yeah, just do for the next 2-3 days. You know, just do a little bit of Kapalbhati for a few minutes. I think that'll clear a little bit some things that will make it easier for the energy to sort of align. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. So you're welcome. Thank you. Sounds good. Okay. Okay. Well, wonderful. We have another call tomorrow. So, so let's just sit for a moment and we'll meet again tomorrow. And just allow yourself again to be just in your natural state. Just notice your level of consciousness, your state of mind. Is it dark? Is it bright? Are you, you know, the best you can be? Or are you dwelling? Just position yourself in a place where you know life is good. In a place of trust, love, and support. And just remember, I said that a long time ago, is that the most beautiful time is when you are a student, when you are on the journey. And I know we're always on the journey. We're always a student of life. We're always a student of perfection or towards perfection or realization of that. But it's actually the most beautiful time. It's just like when we think back when we were children and somehow dinner was made. And then we didn't have to worry about payments for the house or something like that. There's something very, very powerful. So enjoy this time and just allow yourself to just be very at ease with it while you are disciplined and do what needs to be done. That'll make it a lot easier. So thank you. Namaste for today. And I wish you a wonderful evening or morning or day wherever you are. And I will see you again tomorrow on my Sunday. Namaste. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.